Hello, how is everybody? Well, like I was introduced, I am not a medical provider, so you might be wondering why I'm giving a talk on childhood vaccinations. I'm a parent, I was a school teacher, and I am an advocate for education, so I guess that alone would tell you that vaccinations are very important to me. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but vaccinations can kind of be a controversial topic. It's amazing, as I was doing the research for this talk and the research for the module which I developed, as to how polarizing it is. And so that kind of gave me some insight as to how to move forward with this. So that being said, we're going to see if this works. So to illustrate the polarizing approach or the polarizing aspects of childhood vaccinations, I have found a video, and we're going to see if the audio works. I have done some editing so as to not offend everybody in the room, but I know that a lot of celebrities came out, you know, in the past few years. Jimmy Kimmel was one of the most outspoken ones. This is one that I found, and it's older, so I apologize for the graininess of the video, but we'll see what happens.
Hi, I'm Pat. This is my partner, Tim. You may have heard vaccination causes autism in 1 out of 110 children. That. Total bull. It doesn't. So let's imagine it does. We'll compare two groups of children. Chubba's group gets no vaccination. My group does. I'll use this plexiglass to represent the vaccination. That's bad. My vaccination wall knocked one of the children out of line. That's our 1 in 110 with autism. In the 1920s, before the diphtheria vaccination was common, there were 13 to 15,000 deaths a year from that disease. If you've got it, your chances of dying were about 40%. In 1952, just before the salt vaccine became common, there were about 58,000 cases of polio. If you got lucky, you might end up permanently disabled or dead. Meningitis, hepatitis A and B, flu, mumps, whooping cough, pneumonia, rotavirus, rubella, smallpox, tetanus, chickenpox. Chickenpox. We have vaccinations against all of them. Which side do you want your child to stay on? So even if vaccination did cause autism, which it even doesn't, anti-vaccination would still be bull.
So, it colorfully illustrates one of the views that some people take, and you can see why I had to do some editing to that. But so we also know that with vaccinations, there are many healthcare professionals out there that have an opinion one way or the other. There have been people outspoken against, people outspoken for. It just kind of depends on where you're looking as to what you can find. And that's the amazing part, is as to where we're looking. So we're going to take a look at some of the healthcare professionals. These are some that I've researched. I didn't include all of them because obviously some are going to be more outspoken than others, so I figured I would take the stance of showing them. So these are the individuals that are very, very outspoken on childhood vaccinations, and these are also the individuals that a lot of people in the public go to get their information regarding such sensitive topics. Jenny McCarthy is the most famous or infamous, however you want to say it, of them all. So I'd like to show that, I mean, this is where people go to get their medical advice a lot of the times. So we're all aware of the internet. The internet has many valuable resources. Healthcare websites out there, very reputable, very usually vetted very well. And for the most part, this is where people get their information. Just Twitter and Facebook, which is not vetted, typically. To illustrate that, from May 1st, 2014 to January 31st, 2015, the top 15 sites for vaccination discussions, Facebook is at the bottom. So, it's a little worrisome to say the least. And from August of 2014 to January of 2015, there were over 950,000 posts to social media sites discussing vaccines and vaccination-related controversies, with January averaging 7,000 posts a day just on that topic. So, Center for Disease Control, probably the pinnacle of information on health-related topics. So this is the homepage of Centers for Disease Control's website. This is as you continue scrolling. As you can see, there's plenty of information. This is just the front page on vaccines and immunizations. So if a parent goes to this site, they are hit with this. And then they are hit with this. Every one of those is a link that you could possibly click on just the home page to gather information that you're looking for regarding vaccinations. So we can look at the American Academy of Pediatrics. Again, reputable source. Everybody goes there, vetted. Pediatricians are the ones providing the content. And their homepage, luckily, does not require any scrolling. Very short, very succinct. But again, there's every possible link, and I noticed that I actually missed a couple on this one, which I was very upset. Again, that many links for parents to go to look for information regarding vaccinations should they not want to concentrate solely on Facebook and Twitter. So these are very high-end sites, CDC, AAP, very high-end. So you might be saying, Adam, you're nuts. Parents won't go to these because they are provider-centered content, which is true, but if you were to Google vaccinations, this is what would come up first. I don't know about you, but I usually don't scroll past page 3 of Google to find out anything I'm looking for, so obviously they're going to go to the first things they see. So there are sites geared towards parents. And this is just as many as I could fit on the screen without becoming obnoxious. So, if you were to Google, which I did, parent websites vaccination, I got 471,000 hits. So again, I'm just trying to show the confusion a parent could meet if they are looking for information regarding whether or not to vaccinate their children. So this gave me an idea. Part of what I do is provider education at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. So I develop modules, I develop webinars, I create them from the provider information, and we put them on a continuing education website, which we call Learn on Demand. It's basically what that is just continuing education Netflix. You can go anytime, anywhere to look up anything that you need to have continuing ed credit for. So I also realized that this would be a good platform for patient education. And I went to my boss and I said, I want to develop interactive modules for our childbirth class, which patient ed gives. Because we only allow 30 people to come to the class once a month in Arkansas, which is a very rural state, so good luck getting the people that really need to come to that class to get to come to it. So what we did was we developed an online interactive module for childbirth education that people could take online, and it also helped with staff ed because they could charge just like they do for the in face-to-face class. So this is what UAMS Patients Learn will look like. As right now, if you went to this, it does not exist as of yet. It is patientslearn.org, but the brass on campus caught wind of that, and so now they want to make it their own. So now it has to look totally different, and it has to be named something different, but that's fine because it's job security for me. So the front page has approximately 16 topics there. And then the good thing about this, since it is connected to our learning management system, is we can keep You can keep a profile of what you've done and what you haven't done, so you can keep a transcript. We also have online patient resources, the PDFs that you're handed when you leave the doctor's office that typically are thrown away or lost or made into paper airplanes or whatever it may be. Those are also available online, so we kind of eliminate some of the excuses that the patients could give in a clinic setting, take those away from them. The reporting features also allow us, if Dr. Johnson was to say, I need you to look at this module on vaccinations, we can tell whether or not they did or didn't. So that's also another added bonus. So this is what the interactive module looks like. Basically, I take a storytelling approach. I'm a big fan of that. It's very good for these more complex subject matter. So we have our doctor here. We make it obviously very institution friendly. We have UAMS logos, Angels logos, everything like that that I'm required to put in there. So we take, I have these providers giving talks for our provider education site. So what I intended to do was just kind of double dip into what they're already talking about. So I take their provider talk, I work with health literacy, and I make it into a patient talk. So this is the menu screen. It can take you to each phase in the vaccination life, birth all the way to teenage years. And just to know that it's not a completely pro-vaccine site, we want to be completely educational and not motivational, I guess would be a good way to look at it. So we do list the risks and reactions, and those are all vetted through providers and different sites. So we take the story, and we take it from the beginning all the way through. So here we have mom and dad going home from the hospital on the first day of having their baby. Okay, and it's very cartoonish, but you also have to remember, I'm going towards patients, and I'm not going towards high-level, you know, providers. And unfortunately, in the state of Arkansas, we usually have to accommodate 4th to 5th grade reading level. So now we're back for our first visit. As you can see over on the left-hand side, we have closed captioning. We also do voiceover, and there are some videos sometimes added in. We have a little button down there on the bottom to link to valuable resources that are outside as well. Now he's getting a little older. Now we're back for the next stage. I just want to show how we're doing it, and this is the fun little stuff that I get to do. So he's waiting for his shots, and if you watch him, he knows it's coming because he starts crying. So now he's going to school, okay? And as you can see, the whole purpose of this is to make a connection with the learner. And they follow this one child throughout the entire module. We're preteen. We realize all the things that, you know, all the vaccinations that you have to get at this age. And then we move all the way to the teenage years. And then I also include some content that they may need after the fact. And one of the big things that we like to do is the assessment. Because on all those sites that I referenced earlier, you can go and look at them and you can read them for hours and hours and potentially weeks and never get through it all. But with this, we can assess your knowledge throughout the process. And we can also build that into the patient side as well. So this is how it works, in a bad sense. So we try and tell people in the clinics that if you get your information from not necessarily trashy sources, excuse the illustration, but sources that are less than reputable when it comes to medical information, you end up getting garbage. And this is what we try to do. We gather all the reputable sources that I referenced earlier. We gather providers within the hospital, within our health department. We have a very good working relationship with all of them. And that's what makes it so we can produce the interactive modules that are vetted. And they may not even be vetted nationally, but we do like, I mean, guidelines are guidelines, so it would be applicable to most anyone. And there's a bunch of references that are way too small to read. Any questions? Yes. From their provider, we also make them. We also have a kiosk system in some of the clinics to where they can take them right then and there, because, you know, we all like to wait in the waiting room. But this gives them an opportunity to do that. We've done different modules on gestational diabetes, and we've done a pilot on that where we have the kiosks also set up in the women's clinic for that.
Great. Well, then that actually would lead to my next question, uh-huh. Which was, I would think that some of the issue wanting to go to multiple sources is whether you do or don't trust the source that you're getting the information from.
Right, right.
So if this is being given from your healthcare provider, then it's basically, it would have to be whether you do or don't trust your healthcare.
Exactly, exactly. And that's why it's branded that way, yes.
So in the pilot that you did, was mm-hmm. there any information that was, or any feedback that you got about sort of the acceptability of this being a resource that was more helpful than just conversations they were having with their doctor or
had
some added benefit?
Right, right. Well, they're currently doing evaluations right now for the gestational diabetes. That's actually attached to a grant, so the physician that is in charge of that actually has to collect data to for the grant deliverables. As an educator, one of the reasons that I feel that this process is good is because it's user-centered. You're not watching a video, because we all know that even if if you're on a webinar that you're supposed to be on for work, typically you have another window open to do something else. So you can't just passively do this. Every screen that you saw, you had to do something to make it advance to the next screen. The other benefit of it is the fact that it has an interactive menu on that left-hand side, so if there is something that you need to go back to, you can. And so that's what I think makes it a little more user-friendly. Yes?
Have you evaluated it with the families?
Not yet, not yet. We're still, like I said, in the beginning stages. The website itself, like I said, we launched it softly about 6 months ago. And UAMS actually has what's called UAMSHealth.com, which is their version of the patient education, which, as I pointed out, just communications marketing is just really a bunch of links that they can go to, like the CDC and things like that. So it's just another avenue to get to confusing information. So since they saw this, and where all of the modules and all the courses are interactive in nature, they saw the benefit of that. And so that's why, again, whereas once it was blue and green, because now it's red and gray, because those are the UAMS colors. And once it was patientslearn.org, now it's UAMSpatientslearn.org. So.